How's everyone doing? Doing well? Well, as you know, my name's Chuck Marr. I'm one of the pastors at Kingdom Life San Antonio, and it is just my honor to be with you today. Can we just thank the worship team, those that led us in worship, by the way? Thank you guys so much. And I just want to let you all know about something. For those that, by the way, who's never heard me speak before? I'm brand new. All right. The rest of you are brave. You came back. Awesome. Well, it's just an honor. I think I've been with you 4 or 5 times now over the past couple of years, so I'm family now, whether you like it or not. But my wife is Anna Marr, and we have 2 beautiful 3-year-old girls. We have identical twins. And so they're at home. I was just texting. They're doing well. But I want to let you all know about a book that my wife wrote called Embracing Mystery, A 21-Day Journey to Hope. It's a devotional, a 21-day devotional about cultivating hope in your life. You know, Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And hope can be defined as this: to have hope is to have a joyful, confident expectation that good things are going to happen. It's this overall joyful expectation that good things are going to happen to me and through me because I have a really good God. And so this is about cultivating that hope. And it's one thing to have hope when things are going really well. It's another thing to have hope when circumstances might be challenging your hope level. But how many of you want to be a people who abound in hope? All right. Well, this book is available. It's $10. It's out in the lobby. I think we just have a couple left. I should have brought more. But I'm going to save this in case they're out back there. So if they're out back there and you want this last one, come see me and we'll get you squared away. Sound good? Pardon me? What's the name of it? It's called Embracing Mystery, A 21-Day Journey to Hope. So, sound good? All right. Well, you guys doing well? Well, hey, this morning I'm going to share a message that is just, it's something that burns on my heart. And I know that you're in a series called The Red Letters, the Words of Jesus, The Letters of Jesus. And this morning we're talking about healing. And the title of my message is Healing is Your Inheritance. Everybody say, healing is my inheritance. See, I truly believe that the Bible teaches that Jesus didn't just die so that we could be forgiven and go to heaven someday. He died so that we could have fullness of life, including walking in health and walking in divine healing. You know, I shared in the first service that Jesus' mission statement, and he said this in John chapter 10, verse 10. He said, the thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. Jesus has come that you might have abundant life. And he died on the cross, not just so that you could be forgiven, but so that you could be healed. And just during first service, it was so powerful. We saw God touch people. We saw people with years of pain have all the pain disappear as they were just in tears and walked out pain-free because the power of God touched them and set them free. Can we just thank the Lord for that? There was a young lady on the second row right here, and she had some type of injury where she had trouble doing certain exercises at the gym. She had trouble walking. She couldn't even really stand up on her toes without pain. As the presence of God hit her, she just began to cry. She was able to do this with no pain. She could do things with her legs she couldn't do before as God's power just touched her. Isn't that amazing? Well, we're going to talk about healing as our inheritance. And if you have your Bibles, go with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 23. And it says this in Matthew 4, verse 23. It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he, Jesus, had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. One of the things that marked the very life and ministry of Jesus is that everywhere he went, he healed the sick. He was opening blind eyes, opening deaf ears, healing cripples, giving them strength into their feet to walk. You know, he even rose the dead. You know, my pastor used to say Jesus ruined every funeral he went to, including his own. It's like everywhere he went, he was confronting the powers of darkness, destroying the works of the devil. Because how many of you know that sickness and disease is not of God? And if it's not of God, it's of the devil. And Jesus went about destroying the works of the devil and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And not only that, but when Jesus commissioned the 12 apostles to continue the ministry of preaching the gospel in the earth, he commissioned them and gave them power to also do signs, wonders, and miracles. And it was such an integral part of the early church that everywhere they preached the gospel, they also put the power of God on display with signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, so much so that the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration. Everybody say demonstration. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Verse 5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Listen, I believe that there is a generation out there not looking for a good argument, not looking, you know, for a good debate to be convinced. They're looking for an encounter, and they're looking for an encounter with Jesus Christ. They don't want a good argument. They want an encounter with the King of Kings. And Paul said, I didn't come trying to convince you with wise words. I came putting the power of God on display. Because how many of you know that once somebody has an encounter with the reality and power of God, they have a decision to make? What am I going to do with that? So everywhere they went, the early church was putting the power of God, not just on their lips, but in demonstration and of power. And I am convinced that if we want to see a generation swept into the kingdom of God, if we want to see cities transformed, if we want to see revival break out in our colleges and universities, we need to be a people who understand that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of us, and we all have the ability to put him on display to see people encounter Jesus. Like Bill Johnson says all the time, we owe the world an encounter with God. So what I want to talk about for a few minutes is I want to talk about three keys to lay a foundation for healing, not just to receive it, but to release it. Because I really believe that it's not just pastors and people that stand behind a pulpit like this and preach that are called to do miracles and healing and the work of ministry. But our job, it says in Ephesians 4, is to equip the saints, you guys, to do the work of ministry. That you might put the power of God on display everywhere you go. Does that make sense? So the first key that I want to share is this. God is better than you think he is. Everybody say, he's better than I think. See, it's one thing to just put it on our lips, God is good. It's another thing to be convinced in our heart and in our spirit that we serve an incredibly good God. And God is so good that it's like, even when we think we got an understanding that he's good, he's like, nice try, but I'm actually way better than that. I heard somebody say once, we cannot exaggerate God's goodness. We can't. We can distort it or pervert it, but we can't exaggerate it. Like you can't overly proclaim the goodness of God. There's no end to how good he is. And as we'll see in a moment, as we're going to read in a passage of scripture, God's glory is his goodness on display. And I want to read a passage of scripture from Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 12, just to lay a little bit of a context. Moses has been leading the people of Israel. And he's been leading them. You know, a lot of you have seen the movie. You've seen the Ten Commandments if you're old enough. If not, maybe you've seen Joseph, Prince of Egypt. Or maybe you've just been a good Sunday school student. But for those that many of you are familiar, God called Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt. And as he led them out of Egypt into the wilderness, they saw tremendous miracles on display. They saw God, you know, supernaturally provide water out of the rock when Moses would strike the rock. They saw God supernaturally provide fresh manna, fresh bread every morning, you know, on the grass when they got up in the morning. They saw God supernaturally provide meat when they asked for meat. He caused quail to fly so low that they could just knock them out of the sky and cook them and eat them. And they saw God just providing for them and putting miracles on display. But as if that wasn't enough, all of this stuff that they saw, Moses had this conversation with God in Exodus chapter 33, verse 12, and it says this. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me to bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found grace in my sight." Verse 13, "Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." Verse 14, "And he," God said, "my presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Verse 15, "Then he said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are on the face of the earth." Verse 17, "So the Lord said to Moses, 'I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name.'" And then Moses said this in verse 18, "Please show me your glory." Verse 19, "Then God said, 'I will cause all of my goodness to pass before you.'" Everybody say goodness. "And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Skip down to verse 21. "And the Lord said, 'Here is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock. I will cover you with my hand while I pass by.'" You can stop right there. You know the story. Basically what happens, God says, "God, show me your glory." God says, "Okay, I'm going to cause all of my goodness to pass before you." So God takes Moses, puts him in this cleft of the rock, like this cave, covers him with his hand, and he causes his goodness. He proclaims his name and causes the goodness of God to pass over Moses. If you read on, after this encounter, Moses goes, he receives a new version of the Ten Commandments. He comes back off of the mountain, and it says that the glory of God was so radiant on the face of Moses. It was like he was literally glowing. The glory of God was radiating on him. Like, you know what it's like when you like stare at the sun, or if you even like, I stare at these lights right now, they're like so bright right now. It's like, that's what his face was doing. And this isn't just like a nice history story. This actually happened. He had this encounter with God. The glory of God is so radiant that Israel's like, "Moses, we can't even look at you. Like, you have to cover your face." So he has to like put this veil over his face. But my point is this. Moses said, "God, show me your glory." And God said, "Okay, I'm going to show you my goodness." Because God's glory is simply his goodness on display. God's glory is 100% equal to his goodness. It's just his nature. It's who he is. He's incredibly good. And I really believe that a key to seeing cities transformed and revival break out everywhere we go is simply believing that he's really, really good. Because when you believe he's good, you will expect good things to happen to you and through you everywhere you go. And you know, if you want to know really how good God is, you just have to look at the life of Jesus. Everywhere he went, he was healing people. He was opening blind eyes, opening deaf ears, encouraging the poor. It says Jesus, everywhere he went, he went about doing good and healing the sick and casting out demons. And I heard one person put it this way. Jesus Christ is perfect theology. If you really want to know what God's like, you just need to look at the life of Jesus. In fact, in John 14, we read how one day Philip, one of the disciples, came to Jesus. And he said, Lord, show us your Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said, Philip, have you been with me this long and you ask me to show you the Father? Don't you understand that if you've seen me, you've seen him? Like, some people just wrestle with this. They're like, what's God? Like, how can I know God? He's like this eternal being in the sky. How can I know him? How can I truly know what he's like? Jesus said, it's easy. If you've seen me, you've seen him. You want to know what God's like? Just look at Jesus. Because it says this in Hebrews chapter 1, starting in verse 1. In fact, let's just look at verse 2 for time's sake. It says, but in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Now listen to verse 3. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact, everybody say exact, exact representation of his being. Jesus is the exact picture of what God is like. And again, everywhere he went, he healed the sick, casted out demons. See, but sometimes, you know, in the church, we can fall into the trap of creating theologies that make us comfortable with our lack of experience, instead of allowing our experience to catch up to what the Word of God says. Some people make up theologies to justify their lack of experience. They're like, well, I think people aren't getting healed because God wants them to, you know, God just wants them to have that condition because he wants to teach them humility and he just wants to teach them perseverance. Not one place in Scripture will you find Jesus saying, I healed these guys over here, but I'm not going to heal you because it's teaching you humility. You won't find it. And, you know, you find a key to what the will of God is by looking at how Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. In the Gospels, in several places in the Gospels, Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. And then he said this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In fact, it's a really good prayer to pray. Everybody say this. Everybody say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Have you ever just been like praying about something and you're like, well, what should I pray? Like, what's God's will in this situation? Here's a key. God's will is that heaven touches earth. God's will is that his kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. See, when you pray, when you know God's will is heaven to earth, you can look at a situation. Let's say somebody is, you know, depressed. You know it's not God's will for them to be depressed Because he taught them to pray heaven to earth, and there's no depression in heaven. You might look at somebody. Somebody might be coming to you for prayer, and they're just like, they're confused over what direction to go in life. Am I supposed to do this or this? And there's almost this spirit of confusion on them. You might be like, okay, I'm not sure what to pray. Well, here's a key. When you pray heaven to earth, you realize there's no confusion in heaven. So you pray peace, clarity, and direction, and that they're going to know fully what God's will is for their life. So what if somebody comes to you and they're experiencing pain in their body, or, you know, they're having migraine headaches? Well, don't be like, God, do you want to heal them? No, Jesus settled it 2,000 years ago that he healed everybody who came to him, taught his disciples to pray heaven to earth. So when you pray for that migraine headache, you're like, okay, what's God's will? Okay, last I checked, there's no migraines in heaven. So I pray heaven to earth to invade their body, that this migraine will bow its knee to the purpose of Jesus Christ. Here, can I teach you something? I'm going to teach you some theology 101. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. And I don't mean like none of us will walk through difficult situations. I mean, it's true. But we can walk through difficult situations knowing that we have a really good God that wants heaven to invade earth on our behalf and for the people around us. Listen, when we believe God's good, we stop just praying for revival and we believe that we are revival. I believe the devil is terrified of people who truly believe God's good and that believe that they can release the kingdom everywhere they go. Does this make sense? Everybody say he's better than I think. The second key that I want to share is this. First key is he's better than I think. The second key is healing is an essential part of the new covenant. I said at the beginning, Jesus didn't just die so that you could be forgiven. He died so that you could walk in fullness of life. And that includes healing. Listen to this. In Matthew 8, at the beginning, it says that Jesus healed all the sick who came to him. And then it says that in doing so, he was fulfilling a prophecy spoken by the prophet Isaiah thousands of years before Jesus. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus, and he said this, Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely he, Jesus, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Verse 5, but he, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That word grief, sorrow, where it says that he bore our grief and carried our sorrows, the word for grief and sorrow specifically means physical affliction. So I'll say it again. Jesus didn't just die so that he could be forgiven. He died so you could be healed. So healing is your inheritance. Not only that, but when you pray for a sick person to be healed and they are healed, you are actually helping Jesus get what he paid for. We are the body of Christ that get to take part in seeing Jesus get what he paid for on planet Earth. And that is people being healed, people being saved, entire cities starting to look like heaven, seeing heaven invade Earth everywhere we go. When you believe God is good and you start to release healing through your hands, you can actually cause your classroom to start to look more like heaven. You can cause your workplace to start to look more like heaven. I'm from Canada, from the East Coast of Canada, and I was bivocational for a while. I used to work in a customer contact center. I was a supervisor, as well as I was a youth pastor, and I got a reputation for just praying for people in the workplace. To the point where my boss would have migraine headaches and would take me aside, and I would pray for headaches and see God take away our migraine headaches. I got a reputation for this. Like, I would do like what I call drive-by healings. I'd be working at my cubicle. Coworker would be walking by, like complaining about pain in their body. And I'd be like on a call and I'd be like have wheels on my chair. So I just kind of scoot over, put them on mute and say, be healed in Jesus' name. And just kind of come back over and keep doing my work. And later they'd be like, Chuck, thank you so much. I feel so much better, you know. Like, we're called to move in this thing. We're called to release healing. We're called to be conduits of the Holy Spirit. And every single one of us gets to do this. But we need to understand that healing is an essential part of the new covenant. Listen to this. In Psalm 103, verse 1 to 3, written by King David. I believe King David had this level of relationship with the Lord where he could prophetically see into a future reality. And even though he lived in the old covenant, I believe that he could see prophetically into the new covenant through Jesus Christ. And prophetically, he said this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Everybody say benefits. And then he's like, P.S., here's some of the benefits. Who forgives all of your iniquities and heals all of your diseases. Jesus died so that we could walk in healing and release healing. The third key that I want to share is God wants to bring healing to and through every single one of us. Listen, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you've put your faith in Jesus for salvation, and you are filled with the Spirit of God, that means the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. That's amazing. What if we actually started to believe that? And so much so that we started to step out in faith, putting the reality of the power of God on display. I was in, a number of years ago, I was in the nation of Australia, and we were ministering in a city called Byron Bay. And at the end of this Friday night service, we went into a coffee shop, and I'm with some of the young adults of this church, and I'm with my host, and we're having our cappuccinos. And then it came time to go, so like we left, and we went to get in our car. And as just before we got in the car, I just felt this stirring in me. Like, have you ever just been like in a church meeting, so like, and God's moving powerfully? It's like you feel the buzz of the Holy Spirit. You're like, I can't just go home. Like, I need to like go get in trouble for Jesus somewhere. So it's like, listen, God doesn't want to keep the power of God within the four walls of the church. He wants it breaking out into the streets, breaking out into the grocery stores, breaking out into the workplace, and breaking out into the coffee shops. So we're getting ready to get into our car. And I said to my house, dude, let's not go home yet. Let's just go walk around and see what happens. Now, it just so happened that it was summer break in Australia, so there was young people everywhere, college students in and out of the restaurants, in and out of the bars. We're walking down the sidewalk, and I just felt this boldness. I felt like what I like to call the spirit of I don't care. And we're like, how many of you need more of the spirit of I don't care what people think of me? I just release that to you in the name of Jesus. And that after this morning, you will leave here with the spirit of I don't care what people think of me. It's called boldness. So we're walking in front of this restaurant, and I stop and I say to this group of young people in front of this bar, they're like 20-some-year-olds. I said, we're a group of people from California. I was living in California at the time, and we see miracles. Like, that got their attention, you know? I said, we see miracles. We pray for people and see God heal them. And they're like, they're just kind of looking at us. And I said, which of you has pain in their body? Just then, one of the young guys like told on his friend. He goes, he has pain in his back. He's been complaining about it all day. So I'm like, okay, we're going to pray for him. And then one of the young men within this group on the street spoke up, and he's like, I'm a Christian. I'm like, you're a Christian? He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, then you're going to pray for his back. And he just kind of looks at me. And I'm like, I may as well just like equip the saints while I'm here, you know, and show them how easy it is. So I said, put your hand where his back hurts. So he's kind of humoring me, but I don't care. God can work with that. And he puts his hand on the guy's back. And I said, repeat after me, kingdom of God come. He goes, kingdom of God come. I said, all pain go. He goes, all pain go. I said, be healed in Jesus' name. He goes, be healed in Jesus' name. And then after he prayed, I said to the young man, his name was Nick, I said, Nick, try to do something you couldn't do. So Nick bends over, he touches his toes, he straightens back up, and he drops the F-bomb. I'm sorry, it's just what happened. It's just what he did. I don't recommend it. It's one of the ways you know somebody out there actually got healed is they cuss because they're like so surprised. He's like, blank. He's like, I haven't been able to touch my toes since I was 12 years old, and all the pain's totally gone right now. Can we thank the Lord for that? So his back's healed. And now, like, Nick isn't even a Christian yet, but he's an evangelist. And he starts stopping people who are walking by and, like, saying, come meet my friends who just healed my back. And now there's, like, a small group gathered around, and we begin to minister to them and prophesy over them and call out the gold in them. And then I shared the gospel. I just said, hey, the same Jesus who healed Nick's back wants to live in you and have a relationship with you and forgive you. I said, do you want to ask the same Jesus who healed his back to come live inside of you and have a relationship with you? We can pray and do that right now. And one of the young ladies goes, are we allowed to hold hands while we pray? I said, absolutely. So in a circle of, like, I don't know, maybe like 5 to 7 young adults in a circle holding hands in the middle of a bar on a Friday night in Byron Bay, Australia, prayed and gave their life to Jesus and prayed to be filled with the Spirit of God. Just because we stepped out in faith and took a risk and prayed, you know? And we can do this everywhere we go. Just a couple weeks ago, I was in Sunglass Hut, another part of the city. And I'm just looking around at these sunglasses. And then I felt like I had a word of knowledge. One of the ways that God can give words of knowledge to you that somebody has pain in their body, and you can all move in this if you ask for it, is you can feel like just a subtle pain in your body when you're near somebody and you didn't have that pain yourself before. It's God telling you that they have that pain and he wants you to pray for them. Or it could just be this subtle impression, this subtle thought. Well, I had this like impression that this young man working in Sunglass Hut had knee pain. So I'm like, hey, I'm skipping a whole part of the story. I had to leave their store for a minute and then I ended up coming back. And I said, do you have pain in your knee? And he's like, how did you know that? I said, God shows me things. And I felt like you have pain in your knee and he wants to heal you. And just as I was sharing with him, I felt like the Lord said that he had lower back pain as well. I said, and you also have been struggling with lower back pain. He's like, so shocked that I know this. I began to pray for him. He starts like bending his knee. The pain leaves his knee. He's having an encounter with the Lord. And the friend that I was with got to share the gospel with him. We got to invite him to church. Just like sowing a seed and just putting the power of God on display. You know, and we all get to do this. There's a young man in our church named Derek who he's black belt taekwondo and he teaches homeschool co-ops taekwondo, Christian martial arts, you know. And he does these co-op groups where he teaches them and he prays for 6 students that come in all the time. I just had lunch with him like 2 days ago. And he told me that just this past week or whatever, This young girl came in for taekwondo class, but she couldn't do the push-ups they were doing because she had a wrist injury. So he was like, well, Jesus can take care of that. Prays a simple prayer. All the pain leaves her wrist. She's totally healed and got down and started doing push-ups. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, you can thank the Lord for that. I was at another church in Australia in a city called Armidale. And at the end of the meeting, we were praying for sick people. And this gentleman named Scotty came up for prayer. Now, Scotty like looked like a pirate. He had long, straight, dark hair, wore a bandana. I think he was missing a few teeth. And he like looked like a pirate. And he kind of sounded like one. And it just so happened that he had a 4-wheel bike accident in 1994. He said he had to have surgery. He was millimeters away from being a paraplegic. Thank God he wasn't paralyzed, but he ended up breaking his neck, and that got healed, or a neck injury. I don't know if it was fully broken, but he had to wear a neck brace for a while. He had to have hip surgery, and after the hip surgery, even though he had surgery on his hip, one hip was still a little bit higher than the other, and there was a bulge sticking out where he had had the surgery. But you know, it started out, he asked us to pray for his neck because he was still having neck pain. He was taking a lot of painkillers. We were praying for his neck, and as we were praying, the pain left his neck. I'm like, hallelujah, amen, thank you, Jesus. And then we're like, okay, let's pray for your hips now. And I went to pray for his hips, and I prayed a really, really spiritual prayer and a really religious prayer as I prayed for his hip. And this is what came out of my mouth. Hip, hip, hooray. See, sometimes we can just get like really like weird and religious and introspective. Like I have to pray a really long, loud prayer to try to convince God of something. But I believe that the more we understand that he's just a really good God who just loves having fun with his kids. It's like when you believe God's good, like you could lay hands on somebody and say watermelon and they can be healed. That's why some people get healed before we even pray for them, because God's just there ready to do it. You know, so I went, maybe it was God like getting me to say it to make him, I don't know. But I just said, Scotty, hip hip hooray. When I said hip hip hooray, he doubles over laughing and he gets hit with the joy of the Lord. And he can't stop laughing. So I kept saying it, hip hip hooray. Lord, thanks that you're healing his hip. Hip hip hooray. He keeps laughing. The next morning, he came to the morning service and said that the next morning, not only were his hips realigned back up the same height, but the bulge had disappeared and the pain had left his body and he didn't even have to take his pain medication anymore. Because he's good. And he wants to use every single one of us. In fact, I really believe, I even encourage people when they start to move out in healing, I encourage people to not pray really long, loud, drawn out prayers. Because the moment you start begging God to do something for somebody is the moment you start believing that you actually have more compassion than he does. Selah. But when you just believe that he's really, really good, we start praying prayers like, oh God, thanks that you're healing them. And we pray short prayers because God doesn't want us to trust our own ability. He doesn't want us to trust our own prayer. Listen, God doesn't even want you to trust your own faith. Jesus didn't call you to have faith in your own faith. He called you to have faith in Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Jesus is the author of our faith. It's all about him. So don't worry about your own faith. I've seen people healed when I didn't even have faith for them to be healed. I'll be honest. There's times where I've been surprised people were healed. Can I just be honest with you? Because it's not about my own faith. It's about Jesus and just giving him something to work with. Does that make sense? And I like to tell people this. When it comes to releasing healing, we need to understand that it's not about us. Because it's him that does all of the heavy lifting. Have you ever like been working out and you're like a spotter for somebody? It's like they're lifting the weights, but your hands are just kind of under it, like helping them just in case. It's kind of like that. Jesus does the heavy lifting. We just get to play a part and he makes us look good. And that's what the Lord wants to do. And in John 14, verse 12, and I'll close with this. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Notice that it doesn't say he who's been to Bible college. It doesn't say he who stands behind a pulpit to preach. It doesn't say he who finally prays for 5 hours a day. It says he who believes in me, the works that I do, he's going to do too. And even greater works that I do, he will do because I go to the Father. The only requirement is that you believe. And I'd like to propose to you that God is calling you to believe that he's really good. And when you believe that he's really good, you'll start to expect good things to happen everywhere you go. I want everybody to do this. Put your hands out in front of you. And I want you to say out loud, my hands are filled with the power of God. The same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of me. When I lay hands on the sick, they get well. There's fire in my hands. There's power in my hands. My hands are dangerous against the powers of darkness. Demons are afraid of me because the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of me. And he's getting ready to flow through me with miracles, with signs and wonders, and with healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just thank the Lord this morning. Now, we're going to pray for everybody who needs prayer this morning, but there's a couple people that I felt just during worship, during the second service, that that God was touching. And if you have any type of lower back pain, I want you to stand where you are, any type of lower back pain. And I felt like God was touching somebody with an ankle injury, and I felt like it might have been the right ankle, but somebody with pain in their ankle. Who's the ankle? Who is that person that has pain in their ankle? Right here? Okay. During first service, we saw God touch a lot of people with shoulder pain, and I just want to go off of that testimony. If you have any type of pain in your shoulder, I want you to stand where you are. All right. Now, the rest of you, we're just going to stop there for a minute. Actually, there is one more I want to share. Somebody that's been, has arthritis in the hands, and there's pain or stiffness in your hands due to arthritis. If that's you, I want you to stand. Anyone with that? Okay. All right. Actually, there's somebody with tinnitus or ringing in the ear. It's either ringing in the ear or maybe even hearing loss. If that's you, stand where you are. All right. The rest of you, I want you to look around, and I want you to find somebody who's standing up, and I want you to stand beside them. You're going to play a part in this. Find somebody that's standing up, and I want you to go stand beside them. Those that stood for prayer, raise your hand until somebody's standing beside you. If somebody's not standing beside you yet, raise your hand until somebody's with you. When they're with you, put it down. Okay, somebody's with you now. Okay, you can put your hand down. Okay, this is what I want you to do. This is activation. I'm activating you guys to release healing, okay? Because we can all do this. Now, I want you to quickly ask the person that you're standing with, ask what they need healing for. Just ask what they stood for, quickly. Don't tell them a big, long story. Just tell them the gist of what it is they need healing for, okay? If it's shoulder, say shoulder pain. If it's back pain, say back pain. And I want you to ask them, on a scale from 1 to 10, how bad is the pain? 10 being the worst. All right. Now, what I want you to do is we're not going to beg God to do it. We're not going to pray a long, loud, drawn-out prayer. We're not going to try to convince God to do anything. Because listen, Jesus wants them healed more than you do. So I just want you to come into agreement with heaven and say, Jesus, thank you for your goodness and that you want to heal them. I just thank you that you're touching them. And then I want you to command their body to be healed. Those that are getting prayer, you don't have to be like praying in tongues. You don't have to yell. Just rest and say, Jesus, thank you for my healing. And thank him from your heart for his goodness. Okay? So ready, set, out loud. I just want you to pray for them. Say, Jesus, thank you for their healing out loud. And then I want you to command their body to be healed. Say, shoulder be healed, back be healed. Whatever it is they're standing for, I want you to command healing to come into their body. And believe that the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. So I say, kingdom of God, come. All pain go now in the name of Jesus. I release the fire of heaven into your body right now. Fire of God, more. More, more, Lord, more of your presence. We bless what you're doing. I thank you for bringing healing. Somebody's neck is being healed as well. If that's you, just move your neck around and you'll find that God's touching your neck. I release healing fire into your neck right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. If you have migraine headaches, just put your hand on your head and I just command migraines to leave now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for healing. We honor you, Jesus, and we give you praise in the name of the Lord. Amen. Listen, what I want you to do now is I want you to try to do something you couldn't do. I want you to test it out. Move your body around. If it's your knee, bend your knee. If it's your, whatever it is you got prayer for, try to do something you couldn't do and see how it feels. And some of you are going to realize all the pain's gone. If all the pain's gone from your body, I want you to raise your hand and wave at me right now if all the pain's gone. Raise your hand right here, right here. Anyone else right here, right back here? Just wave at me. Keep testing it out. Right here, all the pain's gone. Right here, all the pain's gone. Anyone else? Right back here, all the pain's left your body. Come on, right back here, all the pain's gone from your body. Who else? All the pain's gone from your body. Wave nice and... Come on, let's thank Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. Come on. All right. Now, if your person's not fully healed yet, I want you to ask them how they're doing. And if they've only, even if they've only improved, I want you to pray one more time. Say, how are you doing? Whether they've experienced any breakthrough or not, I want you to pray for them one more time. Say, Lord, thank you for what you're doing. So ask them quickly how they're doing. If there's an improvement, say, thank you for that, Jesus. And then I want you to pray for them one more time, okay? Ready, set, go. Pray for them one more time. Full healing. Kingdom of God come. All pain go. Kingdom of God come. All pain go. Fire of God come through your body now in the name of Jesus Christ. I just cancel out sickness and pain in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for it in your name. Amen. Test it out one more time, guys. Test it out and see how you feel. And wave at me if all the pain's gone. Wave at me if all the pain's gone. Right here, right back here, right over here, right back here. Anyone else? All the pain's gone. Right over here. Anyone else? Right here, the pain's gone. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, one more time, I want everybody that got prayer that all the pain's gone from your body, whether we tested the first time or the second time, I want all of you to raise your hand and wave at the same time if all your pain's gone. Come on, guys, look around. Let's thank Jesus for what he's doing. Hallelujah. And listen, I didn't do this. You guys did this. You guys are the ones that released healing. So quickly, if all the pain's gone from your body, I want you to quickly come to the front. We want to hear a few testimonies. All the pain's gone from your body. I want you to come to the front. And if we could have that mic over here to hear a few testimonies. Do we have that handheld, Pastor Dwayne? This is what I want to do. Yeah, just line up all the way over here too. Just line up all the way over here. If all the pain's gone from your body. All right, this is what we're going to do. We're just going to hear quickly how long you've had the pain, where the pain is, how long you've had it, and then what happened when they prayed for you, okay? So.
I've had the pain off and on throughout probably over a year now, but it was in my lower back, and it's kind of like out of alignment, like my hips were hurting and everything, and lately, it's been worse. It just, for some reason, within the past few days, it got worse. And then when they prayed for me, it went away.
So. Come on, that's awesome.
I have rheumatoid arthritis. I've had it since I was like 15. And it's gotten worse. You know, it's the older I got, it's getting worse and worse. And as you can see, my fingers are getting crooked. I couldn't make a fist. My hands were real stiff this morning. I couldn't make a fist. But now, both of them, I can make a fist.
Come on,
thank
that's
Jesus.
Awesome.
I'm going to say in Spanish, and she's going to translate.
Okay. Tenía
por un año el dolor en la cintura.
She's had a back pain for a year.
In my...
And on her neck.
Thank you, Jesus.
She got healed.
Come on.
I had pain in my ankle. I had surgery a couple years back, so here and there it hurts a lot. And I worked all night last night, but I feel healed.
Is the pain gone?
The pain is
Come
gone.
Come on. It's awesome. What's your name?
Myra.
Sorry?
Myra.
Let's stretch your hands toward Myra, because Myra, I just saw you laying hands on the sick and seeing them healed. So Father, I just thank you that the anointing that she experienced with her healed ankle, she's going to release to other people. And I even see you praying for people at work and seeing the anointing move through you. There's a healing anointing on your life. I bless you with that in Jesus' name.
I had since about 2016, I've had pain in these two fingers. I work a lot with my hands, and they were stiff. I couldn't hardly move them anymore. But now the pain is gone.
Come on. So good.
I had a shoulder impingement, and so I couldn't move my – it was painful to go all the way up. And so now I can go all the way up.
Yeah. Amen.
I've had back pain since I was about 16 years old. And after having my son 8 months ago, it got worse, and my job made it worse. And now I don't feel anything.
It's amazing.
6 years ago, I fell on the side of the pool getting my daughter out. She fell in the water. She was only two. So I, saving her, I fell on my knee. And a few days ago, I went exercising with her, and it's been in pain for a few days, but there's no more pain in the knee.
That's so good.
I've had lower back pain for a little over a year, and April 25th this year, I went through surgery. I have about a 10-inch scar going from my lower back all the way up. 5 discs got operated on, and I could barely bend 2, maybe 3 inches at most, and today I can bend.
Yeah.
I've had pain, joint pain and back pain for almost a year. Before she even prayed for me, when she touched me, I started to feel the healing in my back, but my knees also hurt. She prayed for me the first time. After that, my knees started to tingle. They weren't hurting, and then when she prayed the second time, it was gone.
Come
on. I still feel warm all over.
She still feels warm all over.
Yeah, my back and my knees.
Okay, real quick, if you have any pain in your body that you need healing for, I want you to stand quickly. Any pain in your body that, and you want healed, I want you to stand quickly. Listen, there's power in the testimony. And when she shared that, I felt like she was supposed to pray for healing. So what I want you to do is I want you guys, if you guys out there, just put your hand on your own body where the pain is, and I want you to pray that the Lord would do for them what he did for you.
Okay. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would heal them in your name, Lord, that all pain would be gone and that they would just feel your presence. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Those that just got prayer, test it out and try to do something you couldn't do.
I've been having a ringing in my right ear for the past probably over 10 years, and I only receive this ringing when I lay down on my right side, and then I hear a knocking sound very loudly with the ringing, and it's been going on for over 10 years. I know God has healed me because not only did my hands get hot, but the people that laid hands on me, I felt their hands get hot. So I give God praise for
healing.
Come
on. I had the hearing loss, and they prayed for me, and I can hear a lot better now.
Yeah, so good. About what percentage of hearing loss did you have?
I don't know, but when I had a hearing test, they said I was going deaf. I needed to do something.
So, but you noticed a considerable difference now.
Right, yeah.
Let's thank the Lord for that. And we just agree, God, that you would just continue this miracle and that you would bring 100% restoration to that hearing in Jesus' name. Amen.
I had overall back pain. And I've had 5 kiddos, so I had a hernia also. And so the lady that prayed for me, I got an adjustment, so I don't have back pain anymore. And while she was praying for the hernia, it got a lot smaller, and I could actually feel this weird thing, like I was doing crunches while she was praying for me.
And how's it feel now?
It feels good.
Come on, that's amazing. You got, let's give them a hand. Let's thank Jesus one more time. And let's do this. Yeah, let's stand and give the Lord a shout. And let's do this. Put your hand over your own heart. Father, I just thank you for every single person that's here. And we thank you for what you did this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that it's just a picture of what you want to continue to do through every one of us. So I pray, Lord, that this morning, every single one of us would leave empowered, encouraged, filled, challenged with a childlike faith to release healing everywhere we go. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's thank Jesus one more time. God bless you guys. And listen, I want to encourage you. Sometimes miracles are instant. Healing can be progressive. So you might receive a measure of healing, not a full healing. I want to encourage you, keep thanking Jesus for it. Test it every day. Even if you haven't received any breakthrough yet, even though you got prayer, I want to encourage you to continue to thank the Lord for it. Continue to test your body out, because sometimes it manifests 1, 2, 3 days later. And then tell one of the pastors and leaders here, we want to celebrate with you. God bless you guys. You're amazing. Jesus loves you so much. Thanks.